different covenants that we're looking at. Okay, we've looked at a few already, right? So what are the four significant ones that we're looking at? Noah's and Abraham's and Moses. Mosaic, right? And then Davidic, okay? Right, so we've looked at Noah and Moses. So this morning, we looked at Noah and Abraham. This morning we're going to look at Moses, and that's why I said we're going to be pretty jam-packed. I'd like to try to finish this today, but, you know, we'll see. I don't want to push the class too hard either. This one I think is pretty fascinating. We have to know where these all fit in. And some people who actually shared with me that they said that they are not familiar with covenants. I had shared with you guys before that covenants are pretty key to the understanding of Scripture. All right? Okay, so here we go with Moses. Oops, sorry. Thing is in the way. All right, Moses, let's... Okay, I don't know what that... Oh, it's a cup. There you go. Moses. That's why... I don't know if they have plans to do a drop-down projector in this room.
I always get neglected in here, but...
We'll work through that. Okay, something happened here. Let's go ahead and look at the Mosaic Covenant. What we've been doing is trying to identify if there is a sign or a witness and whether or not it is conditional or unconditional. And what we're going to do is we're going to read Exodus 19, 1 through 8, and Exodus 24, 1 through, looks like, 11. Okay? So why don't we do that? Shall we read it together as a class? Okay? So turn your Bibles open to Exodus chapter 19. And we're going to read 1 through 8. And then we're going to go to chapter 24, read 1 through 11. I'm not sure why it's not fitting up in the screen right. Go ahead, have a seat. What's wrong?
I like the view.
You don't like
it's
the view?
This way's easier.
Because you'd have to look at Tim to see it.
He's too distracting.
His face is too handsome. All right, okay, so 19, 1 through 8. Can I have a volunteer read verses 1 through 8, please?
In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day, they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord came to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Now keep in mind what we've been studying about the nature of covenants. I'm not reviewing any more of that this morning, okay? But we've looked at, I'll go back again, we have looked at the, okay, man, I'm just having the crowd, is that me? I'm just always blocking the screen here. For any of you, you know, OCD people, if my stuff is blocking the screen and you're bothered, you know, just let me know, like this. That stuff doesn't bother me too much, but I know it bothers some of y'all. So we're looking at the four main covenants here. We looked at Noah's, we looked at Abraham's, and we reviewed in those times what are some of the traits and characteristics of covenants. Today we're looking at Moses, and as we read these, I want you to continue to see if you can identify some of the nature or characteristics of the covenant, okay? So Tim just read for us chapter 19, 1 through 8. Now we're going to be looking at chapter 24, 1 through 11. Can I have another volunteer read that for me? I'll read that for us. Yeah, just please, someone, just go ahead. Go ahead and go for it.
1-11?
Yes, please.
Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him." Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words of which the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Then he arose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent young men of the sons of Israel, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as peace offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and the other half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." So Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel. And they saw God, and they ate and drank.
Okay, good. Now, I want you guys to get into your little groups, and I want you to discuss, can you find in this a sign or a witness? And whether or not this covenant is conditional or unconditional. Okay, so talk in your groups real quick and determine if you see the signs or witness, something that they've done or shared together or whatever it is. And also determine if it is conditional or unconditional from what you see. Okay, go ahead and get in your groups and talk about that for a minute or so. All right, you guys find it? You guys there? Looking? Okay, now it's clear, okay? I put these verses, what we just read, these are kind of, you know, your hint verses and stuff like that, your key verses, but here are the sections that you read. Okay, so what do you guys think? Did you find any sign or witness? What do you guys see? Or is this a conditional or unconditional covenant? Let's refresh the covenant with Noah. What was the sign? It was a rainbow, or the witness is the rainbow. Second is the covenant, the promise that God made with Noah. Was it conditional or unconditional? Unconditional. Second, Abraham. What is the sign or the witness, or what is shared within the covenant? Circumcision. Second, Abraham covenant was conditional or unconditional? Unconditional. Third, now we look at Moses's. What is the sign or witness that you guys were talking about? What is the sign of Moses's covenant here?
The blue color.
Blue color. How is that? Where's? Okay. Okay, is it a blue color? The sapphire stone, there was under his feet as if it were a sapphire stone. Okay. No. Nice try, though. What else did you guys come across with? Okay. So there was an offering. We remember that. What's significant about the fact that there was an offering and they took... they sacrificed peace offerings of oxen and burnt offerings. So they took half of the blood. So basically, was there a shedding of blood, cutting of the animal, cutting of the covenant? Yes, because that's a consistent sign that we see of covenants. But what did they do? He rose early in the morning and built
what?
An altar at the foot of the mountain, and specifically 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. We see that. Okay? We also see something down in the very bottom of verse 11. I just want you to take a note of this in chapter 24, verse 11. That after they had recognized this, yes, you did see the sapphire stone, but what did they do? What did they do when they beheld God?
They ate and drank.
They ate and drank. They shared a meal. They shared a meal in this covenant. Okay? Is this a conditional or unconditional covenant? Bless you. Conditional or unconditional? Where do you see the condition? Chapter 19, verse 5. Very good. Indeed, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my treasured possessions. Okay? And not only that, you're not going to be just my treasured possession, but look at verse 6. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. If, right? If you do as I say you do. If you obey what I tell you to do. If you, you know, keep this covenant. If you do your part, then you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, right? All right, good. So what we see here as a sign of witness is an altar. We see the 12 pillars, and we see that there's a shared meal. And yes, this is now the first covenant that God makes with man that is conditional. All right? So this is now a promise, but a promise that must be fulfilled on two parts. Okay? The redemption promised, okay, after the fall. Remember, we talked about that last week. Okay? So, remember, what is the, what was it called? The first place, the first promise that God made with man after the fall. Do you guys remember that? We talked about it last week. And I said it had a funny name. I gave you this long name. Do you guys remember that? You guys with me? Am I losing y'all? Go ahead, Kai. Wait. Proto, yes? Evangelium. Proto Evangelium. What is that? First gospel. Where was the first gospel recorded? In Genesis chapter 3, right after the fall, right? And so right then it was, you are going to crush the head of the serpent, but the serpent will strike your heel. So the serpent will strike the heel of your offspring, Eve. He will hurt your offspring. Right? But your offspring, your promised offspring, will crush the head of the serpent. Okay, you guys with me? Right? You guys remember that? Yes, just come on, I need y'all. I said, yeah, I'm with you, okay? So I just know y'all with me. Then we got that. We know that now this promise through each covenant becomes more and more clear. Because the first way that God deals with the sin of the world after that promise was people are sinning more and more and more, right? And what did God do? God made a promise with one person. After he had what? Sent what? Rain and flood to destroy all of mankind. So here's where the different periods of Noah, Abraham, and Moses, God's plan here of the gospel is beginning to take shape. Okay, you guys with me? Because there's a picture that they get from God. but they don't know how it's going to take place. You guys with me? They don't have the luxury of us today looking back in all of the Bible, or since you guys hold the Bible, I'd say, okay, we can be here in the Bible and we're looking back at all these things. They were over here and saying, whoa, like, God promised us this, but how is that going to look? Which one of my offspring is going to be bruised? How is my offspring then going to crush the head of the enemy? I don't know how all this is going to go. I just know that there's a God's promise out there. And in Noah's period, from after the fall up to Noah, people became more and more sinful, right? More and more sinful. You see the degradation and deterioration of the human race. And then God just destroyed everyone and every living thing on the earth. And then he made a promise, I'll never destroy the world by water again. I promise you. So every time you see a rainbow, you remember that. Okay, you people, remember, I'll never destroy the world with water again. And then after that, we see Abraham's period come up. We see God's plan of redemption become clear through the covenant. What became clear? He called one man, and he gave this man a three-part promise. Remember? God's covenant with Abraham, or God's promise to Abraham, had three parts. What were they? Promise of land. Like, you're going to have this land, this literal land. Two, you're 75 years old, but you're going to have many, many children. You're going to have so many offspring and descendants and seed. Okay? And three, my promise is what? I will what? Come on, y'all. I will bless the world through you and your offspring. At 75 years old, right? Remember? Had to wait 25 years for that to be fulfilled. But I was just talking with a brother yesterday about that. And it's like, man, I mean, doesn't that remind us of patience? Doesn't that remind us that sometimes as we're waiting, that God is faithful to fulfill, right? I mean, what's 25 years? Goodness. Some of y'all are like, what? I'm not even 25 years. I'm like 16 years old. God, come on. Like, I got to keep waiting. Like, in God's plan, waiting is a very important part of his plan. Okay? And so here we go. We have that coming on. And so from Noah, you saw how bad the human race was. After Abraham, you see that God's plan of redemption is going to come through Abraham and people that come from Abraham, okay? That's why we call him in children's songs. What's that song? Na 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 na, da na na na. What's his name? Father Abraham, okay? The father of faith, Abraham. But he's going to bless the nation through this one man's family. And then remember, what happens? Children's Sunday School or Bible knowledge people, who was the child of Abraham that made them laugh? Isaac. Isaac married
Rebecca.
Okay. Rebecca and Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Very good. And Jacob's whose name was changed later to
Israel
had 12 sons. And eventually, because of their special son, Joseph, who was taken to
Egypt,
and they all eventually settled in Egypt, right? All his brothers came. And then over the years, what happened? They became so numerous that the people of Israel became what?
Enslaved.
Slaves in Egypt. Remember that, right? Okay, so that's Abraham period. And then after that period, God, for some reason, says, I will rescue you. I hear your cries. You're in bondage. You're in slavery. I will rescue you out of slavery. Right? And who was to lead you out? This man named
Moses.
And that brings us to this Moses period. So the plan becomes more and more clear. Okay? There's Noah. There's Abraham. There's a promise to Abraham to bless the world, all nations, through his people. But how? How is that going to be blessed? Especially now that they probably like are wondering, did we get a promise through Abraham or what? We're enslaved in Egypt. There's so many of us that we outnumber Egyptians, but we're slaves. Like, how is this? God free us from this, and God rescues them from this. And then as they go out and experience God's miracles, now God makes a covenant promise to Moses and his, and all the Israelites. Okay? And the redemption story now becomes even more clear. One more step clear. Okay? And how does it become one more step clear? Because in this covenant, he makes with them to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Remember, before this, there was not the practice of priests. So they're just beginning to understand. What does it mean? We know you, like, what does it mean to be priests and to be a holy nation? What does that mean? But you're obviously making a big promise with us, a covenant with us. But this time, you're telling us that we have to keep it. We have to do our part for you to for this covenant to be fulfilled. You guys with me? Yes? Nod your heads. I need to know who's with me and who's not with me. Yeah? You guys with me? Okay. Yes? Good. So we're going to do a discussion question first, and then we're going to go on, all right? Throughout the Bible, we see a progressive revelation. Follow with me, okay? That's a big word, okay? I'm using big words. I hate to use big words. Give me a simple word for progressive revelation so you guys can understand it. I just didn't have time to think of easier words. Come on.
Gradual.
Gradual understanding. How about that? Yeah? Gradual understanding. Like, slowly you get it. How about that, right? We're all a little bit thick, right? We're a little bit thick. We don't get things like super fast. And sometimes it takes a long time, and some of us longer than others, like me, way longer than some of you to understand some concepts of God. But as I'm like, oh, I get this about God. I finally understand. You guys with me? That's what progressive revelation means, okay? Like, you get it slowly, right? And in the Old Testament, throughout the Bible, we see a gradual unfolding, a page turning, if you will, to like, oh, now we see the picture of God's plan a little bit more. You guys with me? Yeah? We see that progressive revelation of God's plan of redemption throughout the Bible. This is the same, though, isn't it, in our own life? What types of situations might a Christian face where they just don't know how God might be leading them? Or if you want, in your own life, to make it an easier example. What are things that Christians face where it's just like, man, God, or it's just a fact of life that you don't find out so fast, right? For instance, like last week I shared, I didn't know if I was ever going to get married, right? I imagined myself married. But I had to go through a period of time where I was like, God, do you even want me married? Like, what is your plan for me? And I don't know what your plan for me is. And am I okay with that tension? And am I okay to actually say, yes, God, I trust you if your plan is not to give me a wife? Okay, so that's an example that I'll just use for you, right? Because it's kind of like, it's unfolding. And maybe at that time, some of my friends were like, hey, I got a good friend here. Talk to her. I got another friend over here. Talk to her. Or the elder at our church at that time, Elder Shoes. Hey, I have a daughter. Why don't you talk to her? I'm like, a lot of fish in the sea, but are any of them for me? I don't know. Right? Like, what's God's plan? See, that's an example. Get into your groups and talk about that a little bit. What are different types of things? Or if you are courageous enough, if you're not comfortable, it's okay. Like, what about your own life? What are different things that you've, like, had to wait for, or you're still waiting for? Like, what is God's plan for me? Right? You don't have to go there. That's okay. All right? But you could just use Christians. Christians, you know. All right? Y'all. Okay? So get into your groups real quick, like 1 or 2 minutes, okay? Okay, good. What are some examples? Let's go down the rows, shall we? What are some examples right here? Here's an example here. Stephen had a good one, okay? Here's Stephen's. They said it's very good. Everybody listen to Stephen's.
Like college?
Right? It's like, where am I going to go to college? Like, that is big for a senior. Right? Like, it's funny because, like, sophomore year, you're never thinking about it. Right? You're like, who cares? Like, I know I didn't think about that. And then, like, junior year, maybe. If people may. But then, like, senior year, you're definitely going, like, where am I going to be next year? It's not, like, as straightforward anymore, right? Like, what junior high did you go to?
Vineyard.
And then you knew where you were going to go for high school, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what high school are you going to go to? Los Angeles. Like, you knew. It's like, all right, that's where I'm going next. And you know where you're going to be living, right? Yeah, you're going to be living at home, going to Los Osos. But then, like, college changes the whole picture. You don't know where you're going to be living. You might still live at home. You might not. You might live in California. You might not. Right? Where are you going to go to school? Oh, man, what is God's plan for me? And sometimes that can be very nerve-wracking, can it be? Right? Okay? What other examples do you guys have down this table? Anything else? No? Okay. How about this table here? Like, any other examples here?
Can we talk about marriage?
Marriage, yeah, same thing, right?
The one that the first couple you met.
Oh, the first couple that I married. Okay, yes, sure.
Yeah, the time when I really see God's plan leading.
Oh, okay, right.
They were both stationed in San Francisco.
Okay, yes, yes.
Because I know that UCSF is very hard to get in.
Yes.
You know, and my daughter-in-law got in.
Yes.
After the day, we still think it's
right.
Good. So that was a sign for me to say that it's God's plan.
Okay, good.
So now they're happy married. So.
They're very happily married, right. But there was a time where it was uncertain, wasn't it?
Yes.
And you were worried for your son.
I prayed for years.
Very worried. Like, she's not even as worried for herself before, right? She's like, I'm worried that my son ain't gonna have a wife. What is wrong with him? Right? I mean, she shared that with me. Oh, can you pray for my son? He ain't never gonna get married. Like, that would just be the shame of my life. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Right, but she's anxious. She's anxious for that. Okay, good.
I mean, all mothers do, right? All mothers do.
Not all mothers. Right? Not all mothers, but that works because we all have different areas where we feel that kind of uncertainty kind of hit in. What other things down this table? Anything else? Yes.
I remember before we had Valerie, Phoebe miscarried twice, especially that supporter. We just baptized. One of the miscarriages happened on that day of.
Oh my goodness.
And next day it just happened.
Oh my goodness.
And we're so uncertain patient and wait as now I look back, maybe, at that time it's not still a lot of things not ready yet.
Yeah. And so now you know, that's funny, right? Because miscarriage and children, that's another big area. It's just I remember when we had our first miscarriage. I think we had like 3, you know? I mean, it's like Bex, but it's hard, isn't it? It's, you're just wondering what God's gonna do. And then miscarriages suck because it's like you think you're there, you're right there. Like, we got it, oh my goodness, You're so happy. You have the emotions of like, we're going to have a baby. Oh my goodness. And then it's gone. And you're wondering like, you know, I can't even imagine like a young believer just after being baptized. Thank you for sharing that, right?
Now we got the best.
Now you got the best. Yeah, we didn't need those three kids. We got the best. That's a proud dad. You know, I'm sure that's how we all feel, you know? And I think we had a miscarriage also before CJ. And so, I don't think Bex minds me sharing this. Yeah, but we, you know, I...
There's not a miscarriage before you.
Right, yeah, you know? And I can't imagine if, see, I wanted four or five kids. Bex wanted two kids. And if we had that, you know, have a child before CJ, like CJ wouldn't be here right now. Because she was going to start. She's like three. That's it. Final. We could adopt one. We could adopt one more. So we still have adoption in our mind that we're praying through. But, you know, she was just like three. Like that. There's only three going to come out of my body. Like, that's it. And after that, you know, but I go, wow, like CJ could not be here with us. You know, because that could have been number three, whoever that was, sister or brother, you know. But anyways, I think the point is the uncertainty of that. And I go back to the picture of, like, what you just said. I appreciate you sharing with us. Can you imagine, like, being a new believer? And then the day after your baptism, it's like, God's like, okay, I'm taking this away from you. What that can do to make you worry, you're worried about your son getting married. This is like, can I even have children? That's big and that's hard. That's hard to wrestle with. And then families that ultimately, you know, I've talked to many couples who have struggled to have children, and it's hard. And what that does to your faith and the turmoil that brings in. But then to, in all of these things, right? It's what do we need though? Right? In all of these uncertain circumstances, what if God never gave you Valerie? See, that's another question. What if God never gave you Valerie or Jonathan or Tiffany? What if God never gave us our children? What do we say? And so the question I have for you is, when we don't know how God is going to lead, right? It's even another thing, my friend, a couple that I know has even shared with me, when we finally knew, or the doctors told us, you guys just can't have children, period. And there's a finality to that. That is even another place to be. Because when you know now, hey, we can't have children. We've had three miscarriages and then two more. The fourth was Valerie, or three more. Valerie and then Jonathan and Tiffany all miscarried. Even though you named them, right? And when the doctor, but you're still trying, that's a different thing that's going on. Versus when the doctor says, you can't, well, then you got another process. But then you don't have a hope anymore, right, of like to try to have children. But in that period of waiting, when you don't know, what issues might that cause in our life? Tell me right now, what when we don't know God's plan, when Abraham was given a promise even, and yet, 1 year passes, 5 year passes, 10 year passes, 15, 20, 25 years. What does that do to someone's life? Doubt. Give me some words. Doubt.
Painful.
Huh?
Painful.
Give me some words.
Anxious.
Fear.
Uncertainty.
Uncertainty. Right? We have all of this gut-wrenching stuff that we all go through, these uncertainties in our life, and it could be anything from college to marriage to children to anything outside of those and in between, and it's different for every person. So when Auntie Kim says, every mother worries, no, not every mother has uncertainty over their children's marriage. Everyone processes differently and differently because of where they are in their faith even. So as we struggle through these things, and these are turning us upside down sometimes, does that affect our faith? You bet it does. Yet let me ask you a question. Have there been any promises of God's word that has helped you in facing these themes of uncertainty? Have you guys ever had God's word help you in times of pain, fear, uncertainty, anxiety? And what was the other word? I don't know. Doubt. Why don't you talk about in your groups real quick any verses that have, you don't have to like have it memorized, but hey, this one verse that God was saying that helped me personally. Okay, go ahead, share that in your group real quick. Okay, so what are some of the verses that, are you guys okay to share? Like anybody willing to share? How about we start from the back row and we'll move up, we'll go backwards this time. How about
23rd Psalm.
23rd Psalm.
When I had my major health issue 17 years ago, okay. It was immense help.
Wow, immense yeah. Help. What, you know, what does that say?
No, the translations are all slightly different.
No, that's okay.
I remember, even when I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff which comfort me. So the translations are a little different.
That's okay.
The darkest valley was, are you going to live
the darkest valley. How does the 23rd Psalm begin? Anybody else share Psalm 23? Okay, no, but that's great, because last week a sister gave her testimony, and she shared that is the verse that anchors her as well. Because that passage, many of you know, right, begins with, for the Lord is my shepherd. And then it says, and I shall not be in want. Right? And he leads me. Right? He leads me to green pastures. He leads me to quiet waters. Right? He restores my soul. Look at that. I mean, so for this particular sister sharing her testimony, she was sharing with me in the middle of the week, you know, just how chaotic everything was. And I didn't know that was her anchor verse or anything. But I prayed that verse over her. And I texted it to her. I said, may the Lord be your shepherd. May the Lord be your shepherd. And that you will not be in want for anything. And may the Lord lead you to green pastures beside quiet waters. Restore your soul. The sister felt a little bit burned out, a little bit busy in life, hard to prepare her testimony, and I prayed that prayer over her, and I texted it over her, and then she shared with me after her testimony. She goes, oh, Pastor Alex, thank you for praying that over me. That it's, you know, that's my anchor verse. That holds me in those times. So thank you for sharing that, Scott. Any other verses back there, down here, back table? Front table. Philippians 4.
6 and 7.
Okay, Philippians 4. What does Philippians 4, 6 and 7 say?
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Is there a request to God? The peace of God transcends all understanding of our hearts and our
lives. Okay, right.
The latter part, like the peace of God.
The peace of God will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. Will guard your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus, do not be anxious, but through that prayer, through thankful prayer, right? Through, you know, because I love that word in there. Like, why would Paul just tuck God's promise in with thanksgiving, right? Present your requests to God with thanksgiving. So you can't be like, God, why'd you put me in? I'm in uncertainty. I don't want to present it to you. No, God wants you to be like, I am thankful for this, what I call the suck. You know, the Marines call it the suck. When you're going through the hardest part of boot camp or the battle, it's called the suck. And you're going through the suck, and you're like, I can't really give thanks for this. Nah. But God's like, I want you to give thanks for the suck. And then present that request to me, and I will guard your heart in Christ Jesus, right? I'll guard your heart and your mind with my peace. I always imagine the Star Wars force field. You know, like, I'm not a sci-fi guy by any stretch of the means, but I always have this picture of the and Star Trek, like, put all energy to the forward shield, you know, whatever that is, right? Put the shield in the front, you know, put all power to the shield in the front, and it's just like, and you see these cheesy lasers going, bam, 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 and they're popping off the force field, and I always see God's peace like that. I see God's peace like a force field. It's my one sci-fi biblical image, you know, like, but it's like, it's just over us, and enemies trying to get us and cause us doubt and fear and anxiety and all that angst. And it's like, bam, 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 bam. You know, you have all those sounds of lasers. Pew, pew. Down, 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 down. Whatever. Right? I'm trying to get to the right tone of laser sound, but I just can't get there. Right? But that, you know. So good. How many people for you that verse has come in? Raise your hand. Amen. Right? A lot of us. Good. Other verses going down the line here. Anything else?
Proverbs 3:5-6.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says,
trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and you will make straight your
paths. You guys want straight paths, right? You want a directed path. You want to be on God's path. Like, trust in him, right? How many for you that verse has come in? Anybody ever? Trust in the Lord. And I always preach it not with like 50% of your heart, not 70, not 80%, but all your heart. So what part of your heart aren't you trusting him in today? Right? Good, good. Any other verses coming down the table?
When a king is, do not be anxious in Luke 12:22.
Luke 12:22.
Yeah.
And it says what?
He said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat. Now,
oops, that's my phone just turned on.
You will put on.
Sorry.
For life is more than food, and the body more
sorry,
than clothing.
Consider
the ravens, neither sow or reap; they have neither storehouse nor that. Yet God feeds them.
God feeds them. God takes care of the birds. He takes care of the grass, the flowers. How much more value are you to him? Any other verses out there? See, my point is this. When you are going through and not knowing what God's plan is for you, when you are in life, or in the suck, or not in the suck, but you're almost getting to the suck, or it's mini suck, or it's like small suck, whatever you're in, you're always going to find yourself in some form of suck. You guys with me? You're going to find yourself in a time of life where it's uncertain. God's plan is not folding out for you just yet. And as we study covenants, we are reminded of God's covenant faithfulness. What is a simple word to remember? Covenants. When my son was here and he said, covenants are what?
Promises.
Covenants are promises made by God. And another way to say covenant faithfulness is God is faithful to fulfill his promises. And in the Bible, I want you to be in God's Word. And the reason why I ask you to memorize God's Word is because of that reason. Because you need to know God's promises for you. Okay? In 1 Corinthians, it says that all of God's promises are yes. Like, the promises that he makes, he will be faithful to. And so I remember listening to Pastor John Piper, okay, before. And he was just saying how, he was sharing how These three or four verses were like his anchor verses in his life. And he committed them to memory. And what I want to do with you, and I say the same thing, I have three to five verses that are like anchor verses. And some of those that you have, maybe they've become your anchor verses too, because I have talked about these verses so much because they hold you through. John Piper has one. His very first one is Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah, if you want to turn to it, Isaiah 41:10. I don't have it memorized, but I know it roughly, but I'll just read it to y'all. And so for John Piper, Pastor John, it's Isaiah 41:10. And this is a powerful verse to Israel. But I believe it's generic enough. Okay, because you don't want to take a promise to Israel and you claim that as your own. But if it's a generic truth to God, like this is true to God's nature, then you can memorize it. Okay, you guys with me? Right? You can't take Abraham's part, you know, like promise and be like that promised land is mine, right? Right? So like Palestine is gonna be mine. Right, okay, no, can't do that. Okay. So Isaiah 41:10 says, oh, this is powerful. Look at this. When you're going through that suck. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And you know what Pastor John says? He says, these type promises, the I will promises, Spurgeon says that too. The I will promises are just a little bit sweeter than the promises that says God will. You see what I'm saying? Right? Because the God will is like someone saying to you, God will be faithful to you. God will fulfill his promises to you. God will uphold you with his righteous right hand. But when you memorize this and you're in your devotions and you're in that moment when your heart is just tight and you're like, ugh, and you hear God saying, don't fear. Don't be afraid. And you hear the voice of God saying to you, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you see what that I will promise does to a person in their faith? And so I want to challenge you. I wish I could be this type of a teacher, which I was in the past, that I would force us to memorize scripture together. But as I've been growing in gentleness, I don't force things anymore, you know. I could only encourage, right? I would actually force us, and you can't come up the stairs until you memorize this one verse, you know. That's the way I rolled before, right? Like, stop coming to this class. You didn't memorize a verse, just stop coming. That's like straight up the weird, crazy way that I used to be. Some of you know, but I'm not. So I can only encourage you. I can encourage you to like hide God's word into your heart. Right? So that's my hope for you. As we see the progressive revelation of God, even as we've seen it go through, we haven't even started taking a deeper crack in the mosaic. I decided to end here because we're just going to take a deeper dive the next time we get in. I don't know if I'll be doing that next week, because next week is like, you know, Christmas Sunday. And have you guys ever been through my false facts of Christmas thing before? Okay, Justin has Daniel, but no one else has Milton? Sarah, okay. Should we do like false facts of Christmas? Mm-hmm. It's fun for me. Like, I love doing it. But I've done some with like some of you guys when y'all are children or something like that. You know? So maybe I'll do that. I was thinking about it just to get something Christmassy. But then we got to finish the Mosaic and Davidic. I don't think I'm going to do Davidic, but I'm going to finish with Moses, really talk about that. And then starting in January, we're going to get into Mark, the book of Mark. Okay, so get your devotional books, and we're going to work on that. You guys with me? You guys good? Mm-hmm. All right, why don't any of you volunteer as we think about this concept here and God's word? Can you just close in prayer for us? Can I just have a volunteer to do that? And don't be shy.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity.
promises, your covenants, and we remember them. We remember to lean on you during our time to struggle. We remember your promises to always uphold us through the tough times, and we never forget that. We pray for all of us who have worries or anxieties about the future. We pray for your truth and your will to be done for us, and that we will pray for that blessing upon us.
Amen.
In your name.
Amen. Thank you.